A reading from Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not strike you by day nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore.
Good morning. I'm Rick Pennington, and I'm glad to be with you this morning. Your sister churches greet you. Some of you know, and some of you may not know, that we've become part of ECO together 4 or 5 years ago. ECO started with 15 churches in the Southeast, and we're just bumping up against 400 churches nationwide. I also greet you with some exciting things happening in our presbytery. Some you may know, some you may not. The Milpitas Church 15 years ago was struggling with size and decided to try something new. They started doing English as second language with 2 retired teachers and 2 classes a week. Now they have 38 classes a week with 400 English learners every week on their campus. They have exciting things there. We had a merger that happened about 15 years ago. Old Santa Cruz First merged with Vintage Faith, and the vision of one of the pastors was wanting to have an outreach and a significant impact on college students. Vintage Faith has an evening service that runs from 400 to 600 students every week. I don't know of any Presbyterian church on the West Coast that can say that. That's an exciting thing that's happening among us. Saratoga Church struggled for 10 years to try and have a new vision. And they decided to do a merger with Menlo Park. They decided to do a replant of that campus. They were running about 120 in service on Sunday mornings. They closed the church down for a month for refurbishing. And they reopened on November 1st. And now they're running about 700 a week. Can you say amen? God's doing good things among us in our presbytery. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
All right. I greet you. I've been involved in a number of ways in our presbytery, and I'm thankful to have known your pastor, Kim, for many years. Actually, I was there to vote on her entering the old San Jose Presbytery and greeted her and have been proud to know her and call her a friend all the years that she's been in this area. She's phenomenal, and I know you know that, but I'm glad to be here to fill in for her. I know that it won't come close to what she could do for you, but I will do my best. I grew up in Morgan Hill. I went off to college as a chemistry major. I was not a believer. Played a little football and studied and got involved with a group called InterVarsity that went from 15 to 500 in 4 years, 100 conversions a year. It was a great revival period. I went on after a little bit of graduate school to become an InterVarsity chaplain, staff worker. And for 10 years, I was team leader in the valley from Stockton, Fresno area, all the way to the Oregon border in the valley in the 70s. I planted a new church with my new denomination in 1983. And for 6 years, I pastored a new church plant in the Rockland-Roseville area. We moved to Hollister in 1988. I was doing real estate and construction things, and I got invited to lead a Bible study at the Presbyterian Church in Hollister. It turned out that most of the elders were in that Bible study. The pastor encouraged that study, and I didn't know exactly why, but part of what happened was interesting. We met for 2 weeks in October in the fall of 1989. Then he stood up and said, "I have 4 weeks study leave and 4 weeks vacation. This is my last Sunday." I ended up filling the pulpit in that church for 8 months, and I've been the interim 3 times since. So I've been at the Hollister Church as the associate pastor for just about 25 years. It's a privilege to be with you. I've been married 45 years this next month. I have a couple of grown daughters, and we got to have fun yesterday. My youngest grandchild turned 1 yesterday, and we played in the park with grandkids. There were babies everywhere. It was amazing. So it's good to be here, and if I'm a little sunburned and sun-parched, that is why. We have a psalm this morning. You've been studying the psalms. This psalm is a group of psalms that's a little bit unusual. It's called a psalm of ascent. And they were psalms that were used for journeying from wherever home was to Jerusalem for one of the high holy days. In the Old Testament period, in the 16th chapter of Deuteronomy, there were three festivals that were mandated for the heads of household, especially. Most men were supposed to go each year. In those days, you were not usually more than 8 or 10 days travel from Jerusalem, wherever you were as an Israelite. This was long ago and far away, as you can imagine. Even before King David, this was set down. But in about 650-700 B.C., the Assyrians came in and swept in and took up the northern 10 tribes of Israel and took them away. And they really never had a presence in Israel again. About 500 B.C., Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians came in and took the southern kingdoms and took them away. The fact is that that was part of the dispersion, sometimes called the diaspora, of the Jewish nation, and they really never came back together totally in the same way. But one of the things that happened was, one of the traditions to try and help young men and women be faithful to Israel was they were taught a number of prayers, about 25 set prayers. One of those prayers was, O Lord, I promise to pilgrimage to Jerusalem, next year in Jerusalem. Now, that was quite a challenge. If you were 2,000 miles away or so in northern what's now Iraq, or if you were in ancient Babylon, almost 2,500 miles away, you could take almost a year to make that pilgrimage, and usually they did it Passover. That was quite a journey. And when they did, they encountered unbelievable numbers of peril. They would travel from place to place. They could make anywhere from 8 to 15 miles a day, depending on the journey. They usually tried to travel in groups, and it was incredibly challenging. The last part of the journey, especially if you were coming from the east or the north, was to come through Jericho, maybe the most ancient city in the world. They have unearthed tunnels and fragments and pottery shards that may go back 6 or 7,000 years at the site of Jericho. It's a really interesting journey. The end of the journey is in many ways a metaphor for the entire journey. It's only 18 miles from Jericho to Jerusalem. But Jericho sits in the Rift Valley, part of the Rift Valley down near the Dead Sea, and is 850 feet below sea level. And as you climb 3,300 feet in 18 miles. You climb almost 1,000 feet of that in the first 5 miles to King Herod's castle. And that area just beyond King Herod's castle was considered really dangerous. And that's where many robbers and thieves would try to waylay caravans and especially small groups of travelers. It had the designation or the nickname the Way of Blood, which designated two things. One is the soil and the rocks and sand in there kind of have had a reddish tint. You're traveling up an old riverbed or what they call a wadi. And there were many places for bandits and thieves to hide. And small groups and families, when they would make this journey, often would be assaulted, robbed, and sometimes killed. This is actually usually where many in the early church, Jerome said that this was the place that the Good Samaritan was attacked and left for dead. The Good Samaritan's victim that he helped. As we turn to this psalm, if you want to turn to Psalm 121 in your pew Bibles, I would encourage it. And I'd like to work through this psalm a little bit with you and talk about what I think is a message of hope. Verse 1, I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? Actually, the word here more likely or more appropriately probably is hills. I look to the hills. This may mean many things, but certainly there are many Jews who read this, especially in the middle of the first century millennia before Christ, who read this aspirationally. They look at it, they think about it, they dream about what would it like to be at Passover with 20,000 pilgrims in the city of Jerusalem. What would it be like to make that journey and then to have that last hard climb, that 2,500 feet of that last 10 or 12 miles? and struggle and difficult and dry and thirsty. The difference was phenomenal. When you come through Jericho, Jericho's an oasis. It has 5 or 6 or 7 inches of rain a year. It's completely surrounded by desert and desert plants. As you climb the mountain, Jerusalem gets 20 to 25 inches of rain a year. And as you come up, just as you get into the outskirts of Jerusalem, and you come around the Mount of Olives, and there is the magnificent temple on the hill. And all the dreams and aspirations of Jews for hoping for a restoration of God's kingdom are summarized in some way as the metaphor of that journey. I lift up my eyes to the hills, where I know that God's Jerusalem is physically on earth, but also where God's Zion, where Mount Zion is, and I hope to be part of God's kingdom in the future. I lift my eyes to the hills, and there is the Holy of Holies, the holy place in the temple, the one place that Jews considered that the Holy Spirit, the Shekinah, the presence of God, was able to be accessed. My hope comes from the Lord, verse 2. The maker of heaven and earth. In some ways, verse 1 and 2 are a calling. They're sort of a nostalgic calling, but they're also a calling to say, come and remember what your roots are. Come and remember who you are. Come and reestablish the roots of your faith. Reestablish its foundations. It's a calling. Remember that your help is not in your wealth and not in your career and not in the safety of your caravan. Your help comes from the Lord. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Just as the gentleman was sharing, we don't own it. All we get to do is play with it a little bit. The Lord owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and every dollar in our checkbook. He makes the heaven and the earth. He is the absolute Lord of the universe and hope of the world. The Lord, verse 2, my help comes from the Lord. And that calling is to you and I. Now, this psalm is ancient, may even go back to the days of David. And so if you're talking about the days of David, you're talking over 3,000 years ago. And yet it calls to us even today. I look to the idea is lift your eyes up. So many times, I have to tell you, I was with my family last year, and we were at the Cheesecake Factory, not far from here. And we were at the Cheesecake Factory in Blossom Hill, and about 8 women came in dressed to the nines. I mean, these women, I don't think any of them had an outfit worth less than $500 on. They looked like $1 million. The hair was perfect. The nails were perfect and so forth. It was obviously sort of a girls' night out. It was like a 28, 30, 32-year-old group of young professional women. They walked into Cheesecake Factory. They occupied this big booth. They sat down, and they were going to spend probably $50 to $75 a piece for dinner. Obviously, it was a big deal for them to get together. What did they do? They walked in. They sat down. They all pulled out their cell phones, and for 10 minutes, they never conversed with one another or talked to one another. They were in their cell phone. There are so many things. The cell phone, in many ways, is a metaphor of our computers and our busyness and our children and our work and our commitments. We get so busy looking down, we forget the challenge, the calling to look up. And what do we have when we look up? We have the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Verse 3. My help comes from the Lord. Verse 2. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not let you slumber. The phrasing's a little different there. Actually, the phrasing in the Hebrew is very interesting. It says, let not your foot slip. Actually, the word, I like it better, if you will, just because I like it better, is the Lord will help you when you stumble. You ever feel like you stumble? If you've been a Christian more than 6 months, I bet you know what it is to stumble. Come on, I see some of you saying, no, not me. Well, I've only been a preacher 40 years. I confess that there have been, my wife's here, more than a few times that I've stumbled. But you know what? Here's the good news. This psalm should be a good news to you. You should read this regularly. Lift your eyes up to the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And if you stumble, you have help. The Lord will help you if you look to Him. Not at your, I know it sounds strange, but your cell phone won't pick you up if you stumble. You know, Microsoft Office 365 or 2016, whatever, will not help you if you stumble. But looking up, looking to the Lord, and hoping for the new Zion, aspiring for the new kingdom, that will help you. And that will give you the encouragement, that will give you the comfort, and maybe more importantly, that will give you the challenge to get up and get on the journey again. I can remember, I'd just been a Christian a few months, and my staff worker, Bill Tregoboff, who I loved dearly, still cranking along, I think he's 88 this year. Bill said, remember, Rick, that Christianity is, you know, becoming a Christian, being a Christian is both an event and a process. He said, and it's an event. We have this encounter with Jesus Christ, and it's transformational. It changes us. That's true. But He's not done with us yet. The rest of the Christian faith is like a journey of 100 steps. And the real question is not whether Fred is at step 26 and you're only at step 15. The question is, are you on the journey somewhere along the way? The way. Free, no extra charge. That's what Christians called the church. Before we were called Christians, we were called followers of the way. What is your way? What's happening with you? Do you stumble? And where do you look for help? Do you sort of pull yourself up by your bootstraps, or do you look to the Lord and know His challenge? And if you stumble, do you experience His help? Do you know that there's someone there that can lift you up and can be transforming your journey? Verse 4, indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. One of the things that I know as children anyway, when our girls were, I don't know, 3, 4, 5, they had a little thing called night terrors. They'd wake up in the night. My wife vividly remembers all the times we were up in the night when one or the other, especially our younger Becky, would wake up and be upset and up, you know, screaming and scared, and something was under the bed or over in the corner or coming through the window. But the good news is we have someone that watches over us all the time. The Lord neither slumbers nor sleeps. That's another way of saying the Lord is on guard for you. Part of the imagery here is it's the guard who stood on the wall. Ancient citadels had guards, and falling asleep on duty was a death penalty offense. But the Lord is imaged here as the guard who stands on the wall for you. You don't have to go to bed fearful or wake up fearful about what's going to happen, because the Lord is the guard on the wall for you. Who's your guard? It's not your cell phone. It's not your bank account. It's the Lord. The Lord watches over you. He is your shade at your right hand. Verse 6, I love this. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. Caravan travelers in general, but especially soldiers in particular, had a big problem. And that was they could never in dry regions carry enough water. And actually, sunstroke may have been as big a danger to soldiers as battle. They get dried out, they get sun parched, and they could literally faint and or die from it. There's a real risk when we're in the heat of the fire, when we're really deep in the journey, when we're really struggling and the heat is beating down, be it the sun or a boss or temptation or the struggles in life or the bills that aren't paid, whatever it is that is beating down on us and we just don't have enough, the Lord wants to be our shade, our cover. He wants to be our protection. And I love the next phrase too. It seems so strange in some ways. And yet, if you get the sort of the analogy that it's trying to draw up in your mind, or the moon by night. We have sort of gotten over, unless you live, you know, in an MS-13 neighborhood, being afraid as much at night. But the nighttime for ancient peoples was a dreaded time. Not only were they afraid of the marauders and the robbers and the raiders, but they were also afraid of the spirits that came in the night. And an ancient word that we render in the English as from Luna, the moon, lunatic. The crazies were out on the full moon. But it's the Lord who is the Lord of both the day and the night. He is the shade of protection in the day, and the Lord will protect us and be with us and guard us in the night. The Lord will keep you from all harm, and He will watch over your life. This is a psalm of ascent. This is one of about 17 psalms that they sang and they repeated to one another as they were on their journey. Brothers and sisters, that's implicit in this is it's good news. You're not on this journey alone. You're on this journey together. And you can help one another. And the Lord may use you to help your brother or sister who stumbles. Certainly He will use them to help you when you stumble. When you're together and you're making this journey and you have your eyes focused on the hill of the Lord, another way of saying focused on the Lord, you travel together. And the good news, there's true hope. There's real hope. There's excitement for what God may bring. As you climb the hill of the Lord, and you're in that last 18 miles, you're in the home stretch, 2,500 miles from Babylon, 1,500 miles from northern Iraq, 1,000 miles or more from Rome, but you're in that last 18 miles. And that seems like, I don't know about you, I was never a runner. Look at the build that I have. You know that I was not a runner. But when I was younger, I was, believe it or not, thinner. And I used to be a distance swimmer. And I used to compete in the 400-yard race, they called it. That was a lot. It was 16 laps of our pool. And the first 10 were okay. But it was always those last two laps where you had to really turn it on, hit your turn, and sprint for the end. I don't know where you are in your journey, brothers and sisters, but you're not alone. The Lord is with you. He will help you climb that mountain. He will help you accomplish your goal. He will help you sing praises on Mount Zion. He will be your cover during the heat, during the fire. He will be your cover during the craziness. And He will be your protection and your comfort in the struggle. And the good news is, that we all get to this chance, this challenge to go on the journey. If you're a believer, you don't have a choice. I can remember I actually got in trouble with my mother, who's passed away now, but she was the deacon in our church. And we had a need, and there were, I think, 18 deacons. And most of the deacons were older, and most of them were ladies. And I was asked to go and speak to the deacons group, and they said, well, you know, we've done all of that. We taught children's church. We did vacation Bible school. And they did all that. And then I was, what do I say? I really did. I prayed about this a long time that day. What do I say to this group of ladies that are, you know, the heart and soul of our church? And then the Lord gave me a hard word. It was for me and it was for them. My wife retired 3 weeks ago from teaching, a lifetime of teaching. I don't think I get to retire yet, but I'm still preaching. But someday, not too long from now, I probably will do less, or maybe none. But unfortunately, in the Lord, we don't get to retire. We have to keep climbing the hill of the Lord until He calls us home. Are you climbing the hill? Are you making the journey? Are you encouraging others along the way? Are you bringing some along with you? Are you singing songs of praise together to the Lord? Are you excited about what He's going to do in your church? You have a whole new chapter starting. I can remember when I was part of what has to happen, by the way, when a church comes into an eco presbytery, the pastor and the session have to be interviewed and approved by the presbytery before they can join. And so we went through the interview process with the pastor of the Inori Church, with the elders of the Inori Church, and I asked the pastor what can we pray for? We said, great, we're welcoming you. We're glad to have you come in. What can we pray for? And he said, well, he said, we need a place to meet. And he said, the second thing is, he says, I don't know if this is a common problem or not, but he said, I could really use some more Sunday school teachers for the 160 to 180 children we have every week. Get ready, folks. If you don't think that's going to be a journey, my wife's been teaching junior high kids. And there are those that thought she was being influenced by the moon to even try to tackle that. You're on a journey. You're climbing the hill of the Lord. And the good news is you're not going alone. And no matter what the challenges are, the heat of the day, thieves and robbers, the craziness of the night, no matter where you are, whatever your physical conditions, whatever your financial conditions, whatever your situation is in life, the Lord's beside you. He's given you teammates to climb the hill. And there's a goal that we can all look forward to with great promise. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you've given us hills to climb, that you've given us a vision of what it would be like to be transformed into pilgrims every day on the journey you've set before us. Whether it's 2,500 miles or 25 miles, whatever that journey is, may we know that you're with us. And if we stumble, you'll help us. And you'll give us teammates to go with us. And Lord, in all these things, we can praise your name because you give us the mountain to climb and you give us the strength to climb it. In the name of Jesus, we pray.